As protesters shut down Greece, what should we make of the demonstrations here in the U.S.?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We'll start this morning in Athens, Greece, which has been brought to a standstill yet again today. Flights and public transit have been disrupted. Shops and schools are closed. As many as 100,000 people are out in the streets demonstrating ahead of votes tonight and tomorrow in the Greek parliament on budget cuts and tax increases. Protester Theodora Economides spoke with Marketplace this morning.
As I see it, the Greek government does not answer to the rest of Europe or to the International Monetary Fund. The Greek government answers to the Greek people, because without us, these people would not be a government.
Well, that message is coming in loud and clear to politicians in Greece. The finance minister just described this week as the harshest point of the crisis. Meanwhile, in this country, protesters have been occupying Wall Street for a month now, and many Americans still don't know what to make of it, including a lot of politicians who are being very careful what they say about the demonstrators. At last night's Republican presidential debate on CNN, moderator Anderson Cooper asked former Governor Mitt Romney what he really thought.
You originally called the protests dangerous. You said it was class warfare. You recently sounded more sympathetic. Where do you stand now? What is your message to those people protesting?
We can spend our time talking about what happened 3 years ago and what the cause was of our collapse. But let's talk about what's happened over the last 3 years. We've had a president responsible for this economy for the last 3 years, and he's failed us.
I believe in politics they call that a dodge. Well, to help us understand more about the protests, we're joined now by Todd Gitlin. He's perhaps best known for his role as president of Students for a Democratic Society, which was a major force in the big liberal demonstrations of the 1960s. Now he's a professor at Columbia University. Todd Gitlin, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you have some experience in the protest department. When you look at the Occupy Wall Street protesters, do you think this is a movement, a big deal, or, as some have said, this is going to fizzle when it starts getting colder outside?
I think it's a big deal. Whether it's a movement yet will depend on what turns up, because there are a lot of moving parts. But think about it this way. This has all happened in a month. There's nothing like this that happened in the 60s with this rapidity.
But when you look at the actual numbers, you see, maybe 1,000 people here or 5,000 people there. And I'm thinking back to like the protest before the Iraq War. You were seeing 2 million people in the streets of London, for instance. Is this really as big as you say?
This is different. The issue here is not a one-off eventuality like going to war. What's at issue here is the growing power and wealth of the top 1%. And this took decades to arrive, and therefore it's not going to be settled overnight. So one has to think of this as a movement that at least aspirationally is going after bigger gain.
Well, there's been a lot of talk that these protesters really need to come up with a set of demands if this thing is to move forward. Do you think that's the case?
I think somebody needs to. I don't think it necessarily has to be the people occupying the parks. But look at what this movement has accomplished in 1 month without demands. I think that it's actually a huge success to get some number of people, not just the few thousands, but many larger thousands, actually discussing what to do about economic inequality rather than discussing the necessity of cutting the social safety net.
How will you know a year from now if this thing has been a success?
We'll have a richer and more informed discussion of some of these matters, and people like us will take it as a measure of the reality principle of the parties, whether they're actually addressing the real clear problems of the economic system.
Todd Gitlin, professor at Columbia University, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're quite welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up a little more than 1% right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 180 points to close at 11,577, which, as it happens, is exactly where the Dow started the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S., allianzusa.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
In about a half hour, we're going to find out how much prices have been going up for consumers. And as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, the Consumer Price Index is most important to senior citizens.
Retail prices probably rose about 3.5% over the past year. That'll translate into a cost of living adjustment, or COLA, for Social Security recipients. It's the first time since 2009 payments will rise. Until recently, inflation has been tepid. But MIT economist Jim Peterba says for many consumers, it now feels like inflation's on a tear.
Some very visible prices have increased substantially. Through August, gasoline prices were up nearly 30%. Food that you buy at the grocery store is up about 6%.
Peterba says the COLA adjustment will be a small shot in the arm for the economy.
This kind of a COLA increase will basically help to keep the recipients of Social Security, other transfers, in basically a similar purchasing power place. That will, in fact, cost the federal government money in real dollars, but it also will help to sustain demand.
The average Social Security payment in 2012 is expected to rise by $38 a month, or about $455 a year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, to some evidence that old tricks still work. I was at the supermarket yesterday when an announcement came over the PA system. In 2 minutes, the voice said, they'd be giving away prizes at the front of the store, a product that usually isn't sold. Well, naturally, I wandered over to see what they were giving away, and the next thing you know, I'm standing with about 15 other people watching what can only be described as a live infomercial for one of those super slicer food processors. You know, the ones that can make coleslaw and salsa in like 10 seconds? Well, at the end of the demonstration came the catch. While the product will sell on TV for $59.95, it's available to us today only for the low, low price of $29.95. Long story short, I am $30 poorer this morning, and I'm going to be making some killer salsa. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Understanding what's really going on in this economy means knowing it goes way beyond the markets.
People who struggle early in bad jobs or in no jobs because of a weak economy never fully catch up.
So what you see here is a rift between, you know, the middle class that made it and the middle class that didn't.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Next time on Marketplace, the business news that makes it all make sense. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.